Friday, do you have the next worksheet, the one left over from last week? And did they give out? Does anybody need one that did not get one, the worksheet from last week? All right. We were talking about the resurrection, which is fantastic that we have come to this place and this lesson at this time of the year. When I started this, I had no way to know that it would overlap. By the way, the Wednesday before Easter, I'm going to show you a fascinating video on Wednesday night on the shroud. The shroud that they believe was the shroud that wrapped Jesus, that was wrapped around Jesus. There was a wonderful documentary that Brother Lemoy has loaned to me. And we're going to look at that and see some things about it that research groups have studied on it. And it'd be a perfect lesson right here before the Resurrection Sunday. But I'm so glad that we're hitting this right here in the spring as we're studying the facts about the resurrection. The thing that sets Jesus apart from every single person that has ever claimed to be a Messiah, the resurrection is the thing that sets him apart. He's the only one that there's any legitimate claim to be resurrected. There is nobody else that even has the claim. Everybody else that has said that they were deity, their bones lie in state. There's a grave with a body in it. There is no grave for Jesus, and that's perplexing to the critics of Christ. Now, point number four in the main body of notes was this question: what are the arguments against the resurrection? What are the arguments against the resurrection? All righty, there are people and there are arguments and theories out there that people try to explain away the resurrection. There are groups of people that say it didn't happen, and it's something that we Christians hold on to, but we're mistaken. And these are the ways it's explained away. So we see the first one here. The first argument is simply this, the one that the Bible records, that the disciples stole his body and hid it. And of course, we looked at scripture already in the earlier part of this lesson where it explains that that is the explanation that the world would give about where Jesus' body went. The disciples simply stole his body and hid it. Let me ask you this. What are some common sense objections to that theory? Miss Deb. There's just no way that stone could have rolled away. It was a big old stone. And so that is an objection to that theory. What are some other objections? Right here. Right.
They just stood there and were like, yeah, they came and they took it. And then that the guards, I guess the initial guards were dead, so it was replacement guards.
We know the Bible states that Pilate had heard that Jesus was going to resurrect on the third day, and that information was brought to the priests. They discussed it. So they put a seal on it. They sealed it, which is that stone she's talking about, that big stone that would roll in front of the way graves were made. A wealthy man owned this grave, and wealthy people owned graves like that. It was honed into a mountain, and it had a huge stone that was honed, it was carved out where it'd roll. And then when they moved it in, they sealed it in a way that you wouldn't be able to open it. And then they put a garrison of soldiers to watch it, and especially the third day. I mean, they knew that it was the third day. He called the shot. Jesus said, on the third day, I'm coming out of that grave. So you can imagine, they were watching it. Well, if you say that the apostles came and stole his body, that they broke that big seal and moved that, we're talking a small group of people here. Is it believable that those 11 apostles and a few women defeated a garrison of soldiers, broke the seal, moved the stone under, nobody knowing that this happened? They went in there and beat all these soldiers and put them down and then stole the body of Christ. Okay, that's unlikely, but just for argument's sake, let's say that's what happened. Let's say that they were just ninja warriors in secret. They were like literally like Jedis, and they came in and put a whooping on all that garrison. So let's just say that happened.
And then died for a lie.
And then they died for it later. How far would you go for a lie? You wouldn't go far for a lie. Every one of them died because they said that they served a risen Savior. They declared that Jesus was risen, and they died brutal deaths in the belief that Jesus was resurrected. So even in common sense, we don't even have to go to, I believe the Bible. We can just use common sense and say that theory doesn't hold any water. It just defies. It's harder to believe that than it is the resurrection. So we have to cross that one out. I don't believe you can, you know, with a serious face say that disciples stole his body and hid it and then died for it, knowing that it was a lie and that they defeated a garrison of trained soldiers and broke the seal, moved that huge stone without, you know, anybody detecting that they were doing this. And so, you know, we can say, okay, cross that one out. Number two, a theory exists that Jesus didn't really die on the cross, that he only swooned and appeared dead. That when they took him off, they thought that he, you know, was dead. So they took him off the cross, they put him in a grave, but he'd actually just fainted or swooned, was near death. Maybe wasn't showing, you know, deep breathing or whatever. And of course, we know in history that's happened to people. People have been buried alive. And I talked about the dead ringers last week. But I mean, man, you know, you think about this. There's actually a book entitled The Works of Jesus. Hear me read my notes here. There are books that claim that Jesus went to India and lived there, and that he had a ministry after that. There's actually a book that somebody wrote about the works of Jesus in India, that he went over there, became like a spiritual guru, and had a ministry there, and a lot of the apostles joined him there. You know, what are some common sense answers to that theory? What can we say to that, that we could say, you know what, that's just stupid? All right? A spear, you know, oh, by the way, blood and water came out of his heart. The only way for that to happen is if the blood is literally, the heart is literally exploded, punctured, or destroyed. So, I mean, he was dead. I mean, there's no doubt that they examined him and that he was dead. But let's say that he was in the, let's just picture it here. Here's Jesus. He's been hung on a cross. He's had a spear shoved in his side. Blood and water came out of the wound. He had nails driven through his palms and his feet. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails, had a crown of thorns, massive amounts of blood lost. Then they put him into it's a mountain with a cave with a big rock rolled in front of it that's sealed. The only way out of that would have been to either roll the stone away himself or dig out the back of it. Dig out the back of the mountain. Now, I'm just going to ask you, you think a man that's been through that would have had any strength to dig out through a rock mountain? Or move a big stone and fight his way through a bunch of soldiers without being detected.
And then starve and dehydrated for like two days, at least.
Yeah.
So really, we've been starved and dehydrated.
Yeah, I mean, physically, it would have been impossible. There's no way with his hands in the condition they would have been, his feet, his there's no way he would have had the strength as a regular. He's not God. He's just a man. There's no way that that's believable. But here's an even bigger thing. If all the apostles, once again, had joined him in India, as the book claims, why did they all come back to Jerusalem and end up dying? I guess they all, you know, messed up. I mean, they all came back and started preaching a risen Savior, and they all ended up dying. So again, their death, once again, removes this theory. It shows the absurdity to it. So, again, it takes more faith to believe this than it does to believe that he resurrected. I mean, you're just anything to not believe the truth here. But that's a legitimate teaching, and there's people that have argued that he didn't really die. They thought he was dead, and he dug his way out, went over to India, where he had a ministry beyond that. And I don't know. Okay, there's a third theory, the hallucination theory. The hallucination theory is a theory that's taught out there. And in this theory, this is the claim. They claim that all of the post-death appearances of Jesus were mere hallucinations from his followers. Now, we see in the Word of God that he was seen of over 500 people. What are the chances of all these people having the same hallucinations? Don't forget also that the disciples were reluctant to believe the resurrection story in the first place. We see arguments from Thomas and Peter that they didn't believe he had resurrected. Let's look at Mark 16 real quick. Mark 16. Matthew, Mark. I'll come over here. I'll read this and I'll take some questions and thoughts on it. Let me read this portion of Scripture, and then I'm interested in hearing y'all's thoughts. Matthew 16. I mean, Mark, well, I'm glad y'all are here because I'm just flat all over the place. This is what happens when I get a lot of information in front of me and I have to break it over several weeks. It's fresh when I first write it. Then I have to go through and sort my way through it. Alrighty, Mark 16. Look at verse number 1. As soon as I get there. Verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, which is Sunday, by the way, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believe they them. So we see that they're skeptical of this. Even the disciples and apostles are being skeptical here. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And so we see this. And then we see him give them a commission there as he's wrapping up the chapter. But we can see some definite disbelief. They were reluctant to believe the resurrection story, but it becomes solidified. They come to a place that the belief in a resurrected Savior becomes solidified in their hearts enough that they would go forward and die for the cause of Jesus from that experience. So we see that the hallucination theory, that they were just hallucinating, wanting to see Jesus, but it wasn't really true. That's a theory that's out there. Number D, the imposter theory is out there. This claims that it was another person claiming to be Jesus after the resurrection. This is based on the fact that they did not recognize Jesus after the resurrection. The Bible says that he looked different in his glorified body. Now again, the disciples were reluctant to believe and therefore would have required proofs from him before they followed him unto death. All right, let me stop there. Who has some thoughts on these last two theories? Anybody want to add something to it? I thought I heard somebody over here. Scotty? Isn't that what the Muslims believe by chance? Yeah, that they would say that. They would believe that Jesus was just a prophet, that he was not the Son of God, and they have issues with the resurrection. So, yeah, they would have teaching similar to that. Over here?
Yeah, thank you. Savage? A Roman officer there with a spear that, you know, his job was to go around and certify that they were dead.
Yeah.
And in the Bible, it says that there was no bones broken. Mm-mm. His legs weren't broken because he was certified dead.
Yeah, certified dead.
Yeah. Say that he was dead because he didn't break his legs. Otherwise, yeah, they broke the other 2's legs.
That's right.
He would suffocate and die. He didn't do that because he certified he was already dead that he needed to do that.
Right. Absolutely. Great point. Great point. Anybody else have a thought on these two things that we just covered? Great point. And again, the Bible is very meticulous covering all this, and it's covered from 4 angles, 4 different men, and we see all these facts come up in that. All right, there's one other theory here, or let's see here, another theory, letter E, the spiritual-only resurrection theory. the spiritual only resurrection theory. This claims that he only resurrected spiritually and was seen as a spirit, but that his body remained dead. But we do know that he ate meat, and again, where is his body? They only found an empty linen inside the grave. That was it. So we can note this about the body of Jesus. There's some things I want to give you that the Bible says about him. Number one, we know that Jesus could appear in different forms. We see that in Mark 16:12. We know also that he could eat, though it was not needed for sustenance. That was Luke 24:30 that explains that. He could appear and disappear and could pass through solid objects. John 20, verse 19 and verse 26 state that. He could pass in a moment from one place to another. Luke 24:31 states that. And the Bible tells us that one day you and I will have a glorified body, just as Jesus did after his resurrection. Philippians 3:21 teaches us that. So we understand that those were some special things about the body of Christ. Now, letter F, another argument is that the whole story is a myth. The whole story is a myth. People say that there's people who don't believe Jesus ever lived at all, that it's just some kind of myth that's been given to mankind. The problem with that, of course, is that secular history beyond the Bible records Jesus. There are secular historians that tell the story of Jesus and a lot about him. He's in Roman history that were, certified historians, people that kept a believable account of history through those periods of time. So we know that history speaking, there's record of Jesus being there. But they try to act like the whole thing was a myth that never happened and we made it up and it's just a big fairy tale. And then we see here, the last point here, letter G, the unknown tomb theory is out there. And there's people that teach it, especially critics of Christianity, the unknown tomb theory. This holds that the disciples really didn't know where Jesus was buried and therefore claimed it was an empty tomb. This ignores detailed scriptures entirely. It would not have made sense on any level that the government would have relocated the body of Jesus and hid it from his followers, thus creating this whole mess for themselves. There's nothing about that that makes any sense. Why would they have buried Jesus in an unmarked, unknown area that would have created this whole empty tomb belief? That is not at all to his critics or his enemies' advantage that they would have buried Jesus somewhere else and unbeknownst to his followers. They knew where his grave was. They had gone to visit his grave. They knew where he was placed and knew exactly where it was. But there are people that will say that, that Jesus wasn't resurrected. We just don't know where his grave is. He's buried somewhere over there. We just don't know where it is. That's all the time we have for tonight, but those are some things that are floating around out there and some of our arguments against it. And I believe we have a risen Savior. And I believe it through faith. Even if I didn't have these common sense arguments, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. It is what set Jesus apart. We're going to be celebrating that here just in a few weeks at Easter. And I believe that those apostles settled it in their heart. They were teetering, man. Some of them were, Peter was ready to quit the ministry, go back to fishing. He was teetering. He was, it's what you do when you're stressed out, for sure. But it's what Peter did for a living, and he was good at it. And he was thinking, I'm going to go back to that life I knew before Jesus. Something changed. Something solidified this. And all those people, we're all here today because of the stance they made then. So I believe we have, absolutely a place to stand in our faith that says that Jesus was resurrected, the grave could not hold him, and that he conquered death. What an amazing, amazing fact. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Is there anyone here tonight that could say, preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I know this. I want to be saved. I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. Is there anybody here tonight that is struggling with that? If you would just raise your hand, I'm not going to embarrass you or anything, but I'll pray for you and give you some instruction that will help you in this matter. Anybody at all, just put your hand up, put it right back down. Anybody? Amen. I hope that this study is helping solidify your faith. I have learned that just in going soul winning and talking to people, that for you and I, this may be a cut and dry issue. There's others that are not so sure about it. And the more we know, the more we can discuss it intelligently. If we come across somebody who doesn't truly believe that Jesus was resurrected, we can talk about these theories. These are the theories that have been offered up. We can intelligently speak and say, hey, if that is true, then why this and why that? When I was, I'll close with this, with your heads bowed and eyes closed. I was in Bahrain on my way to India. We had a 24-hour layover, and I was eating dinner in a restaurant where I met two Muslim men. We ended up sharing a table because the restaurant was so full. They were interested in us. They could see that Dan and I were both from America, so they were interested in us. One of them was a high-ranking government official there in Bahrain. He was there to fly out, so he was in the same restaurant there at the airport with us. We got to talking about our faiths. I brought up the resurrection of Jesus, and he said, that's something that has always bothered me. That's something that's always bothered me. Why did those men die for something when they knew it was a lie? And from that conversation, these two Muslim men at a table in a crowded restaurant in a Muslim country bowed their head and prayed out loud and asked Jesus to save them, claiming Jesus as their Savior, believing that he was the only resurrected Savior, and it made sense to them. We went through these arguments, and that argument, that one topic, the resurrection of Christ, is what helped them cross over in their faith and say, no, Jesus is in a league all of his own, and they claimed him as their Savior. So it's good for you to know this knowledge. It's not trivial. It'll help you lead people to Christ. We've already asked about that, and I'm not going to extend it to have you come to the altars tonight. I've already asked about salvation. So I'm going to have a word of prayer, then I'm going to turn it over to Brother David to have our prayer time. Dear Father, we thank you for the Bible and for the detail that you gave us, and things that we can look up and look at, things that can help us as we try to use reasoning. Lord, so much is based on faith, but once you get saved, the answers are there. We believe in faith, but the more we study the Bible and compare it and look at everything else that's out there, I believe there's a point that it's not just on faith. We stand on some facts. Amen. Things that are just, they don't have an answer for. And even the answers they have don't hold any water. They defy all logic. So, Lord, I know it starts in faith, but as we learn more about the Bible, it starts to become more based in the facts of common sense. And that's what I hope our people grab a hold of tonight. Lord, I love you, and I'm so glad you used me to be a preacher, and I pray that you'll just continue to use me and continue to bless this ministry and all of our people that are away and gone and sick and traveling. Lord, we pray that they can be back with us next week. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus.